I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
So the Leftovers podcast, Derek Kramer,
Frank Arcuri,
and I'm not angry today.
He's a little angry.
I'm not. I'm fine now. Like my rage from the Patriots is over, and we can almost get some Sabres hockey back into our lives. And what better way to talk about more hockey than right off the bat here? We go to our buddy, the noted jerk himself, Joe Yurden of The Athletic. Joe, what's going on, man? Long time.
I know. The last time I talked to you, I think I was in an airport in Montreal, and today I'm talking to you from my apartment in Buffalo, so this is way better.
Yeah, way better. I mean, yeah, a little more snow, a lot more losing going on. We're on a farther end of the spectrum.
Well, you know, sometimes you got to have a give and take, and in this case, it's just giving up everything. It's giving up nice weather, it's giving up games, it's giving up all these things. It sounds way more dreadful than it actually is.
Well, then makes it sound like you have a sunnier side to this picture. I mean, the Sabres, they still sit 4 points out as they and the Penguins are dealing with their bye week. But Montreal hasn't taken up too much ground. The Capitals have suddenly tailspun. The Islanders, for some reason, are now leading the Metropolitan. But at the end of the day, what's it look like for the Sabres? What is the picture here as they come out of the All-Star break?
Well, I think the break is really going to help them out because I think they needed a little bit of a time away from us, some time away from the stresses of being in a race where, you know, things were looking so peachy about, you know, a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, and now things are looking a little bit tougher, and I think for them, it's something where it's like, okay, we can step away for a week and just not have to worry about this and get your mind off things, take a step away, and then come right back out and get it because it's going to pick up quickly. But I think with looking ahead to the second half, I think they've got a really tremendous opportunity to get back into this. I mean, all these other teams around them seem to not be losing, which is not great, but they're going to have a chance to really kind of turn the screws on everybody else here if they can take advantage.
Yeah, and it's two surprising teams that have kind of been on a bit of a slide while the Sabres have been sitting out. Toronto and Washington, of all teams, they're both teams that have been struggling through their last 10 games, kind of like a similar record in their last 10 than the Sabres have had. So it's pretty interesting to see, though. And I think that in the end, though, the bye week really didn't bite the Sabres too hard here.
No, this thing came up at about the right time for him. After how the Western Canada swing went with the awful loss to Edmonton, you know, the tough loss to Vancouver, you know, you get a nice win against Calgary, which, you know, looks really good because Calgary's been one of the better teams in the league, at least of late and, you know, certainly all season. But, you know, you're looking at coming back out of it. You know, you have to deal with a Columbus-Dallas road back-to-back, which isn't great. But then you get the next seven at home, which, you know, the Sabres have been really good at home. They've been able to defend a home ice pretty well. So it's going to be a big opportunity for them to get back into things. And, you know, with Toronto and Washington getting cold, you know, I don't really think that has too strong of an effect on what Buffalo has to deal with right now, because I think those two teams getting cold, it's just like a midseason lull for them. They're going to be in the playoffs. They're going to be good, and they're going to be a pain in the butt to deal with there. But I think in the case for the Sabres, I mean, it's the usual crew they've got to keep their eyes on. The Islanders jumping up is a wild story, but you know, it's the Montreals, it's the Carolina. You know, Carolina's behind them, but you know, they've been playing better. You know, it's these different teams where, you know, that race for the wild card is going to get really interesting as things go along.
Joe Yurden of The Athletic with us. And, Joe, one of the biggest things, of course, you've mentioned it, the problems on the road. Like, you've mentioned that they're so good at home, but what's been going on with this team that has got them at such a dreadful road record right now?
You know, you look at how they've done things, and I think it's, you know, it's a case of, you know, it's matchups, but you want to put the blame on the matchups. But I mean, geez, you see how the Vancouver game falls apart, and it's just, you know, some brain farts there. You know, everybody will remember, you know, Scandella and Reinhardt just watching the go ahead goal getting scored in front of them, and those guys are, you know, Reinhardt's always going to get a pass, Scandella's always going to get killed by the fans, but it seems to be almost like a mental focus issue on the road, where, you know, maybe they're scrambling a little bit more because they're not, you know, some of the assignments might change as the game goes along, where, you know, the other team gets their switch in, you know, and the matchups are just like, okay, what are we doing, and you know, the lack of success on the road certainly hasn't helped out there either. I think this team plays on such highs with confidence that, you know, if they're scoring goals, they're playing well. If they're not scoring goals and they're giving up goals, then they're kind of looking around going, oh, geez, how do we get out of this? And there's been a lot more of that going on the road where, you know, they give up the first goal, or they give up a lead, or, you know, a team gets rolling, and then suddenly they don't, you know, they're just kind of like looking around going, okay, well, how do we fix this? And, you know, that's been a bigger issue on the road for them than it has at home. At home, there's a certain swagger, there's a certain confidence with how they play there. I mean, I think the bad games they've had at home, you could count on one hand where they've struggled. But, you know, the road struggles. I mean, every team generally struggles more on the road anyways, but the Sabres issues there seem to be very particular.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think weird. Of all of the 10 teams that are really in the picture, I think the Sabres have the worst road record of them all, with it's only like, 10
yeah.
wins.
Yeah, it's them, and Boston also has 10 wins on the road.
That's interesting. Yeah, because, I mean, those are two teams that play really great at home, so, I mean, that makes up for it. But you want to be better. You want to be better on the road, but I mean, you could argue that Boston's a team that's a one line heavy team. You know, granted, their one line might be one of the best in the league, and I think you could say the same for the Sabres. I mean, you know, a line with Skinner and Eichel and Reinhardt, or, you know, those guys are going. And, you know, if you can shut that line down, which you can do better when they're playing you in your building, by getting, you know, they have to play that top defensive line. They've got to play that top defensive pair, and they just kind of have to eat it. You know, that makes life a lot more difficult if you don't have other lines going, which is probably another, it's a whole other topic we've been all over with the Sabres.
You know, it's funny too, because I look at the West standings and I see two teams that are currently in the wild card picture in Dallas and Colorado. I look at their records, I look at their stats, and I think, Buffalo is literally just like them. Both are pretty much one-line teams, especially Colorado. They have the best line in the league right now in McKinnon, Rantanen, and Landeskog. And they're in the second wildcard picture right now. And these are also two teams that are good at home. Dallas is really good at home, but they are really bad on the road.
Yeah.
It's just funny. It's funny just how, you know, these teams are just all piled in. It's just like they're all pretty much the same. And, you know, the reception on the Sabres this year seems to be like they're going to fall out when in reality they're going to stick right up in the picture until the very end of the season.
Yeah, I don't see a precipitous fall for Buffalo. I mean, you know, there's some things that were keeping them going early on. I think, you know, Carter Hutton played pretty well at the beginning. They were getting a lot of goals. You know, certainly when the first line, the J. Crew line, got together, you know, they were doing a lot of carrying. Then it became, you know, you swap Pominville out for Reinhardt, and they just kept going along. But, you know, if there's issues that are going to keep this team from evolving and climbing up, it's that they're not getting a lot of secondary help, and that's the key to winning on the road, is that you've got another line or you've got another two lines. If you're Tampa, you have all four lines, or you can just roll out there and have success. But But if you don't have another line that you can challenge their top defender, you know, the home team's defenders, and make them think about how they have to defend you, then that makes the game a bit easier to deal with. And maybe other things could help change that luck. You know, maybe the power play was a little bit better, or something else along those lines. That could help out a bit. But you know, it's if you don't have another line that you can roll out there and have be a definitive offensive threat, it's a lot harder to win on the road because that top line is going to get every bad matchup for the Sabres. They're going to get every bad defensive matchup because they're just going to see nothing but the best players every team's got to have.
So that leads me then to this, because you know we're talking about the problems of not having secondary scoring and how the top line always has to get this tough matchup stuff. And Frank has kind of, tweeted in advance about this. So the question that everyone asks,
got blown up.
Can they trade for someone? Will they trade for someone? And what are your thoughts on if they should, and what do you feel the likelihood that they should?
You know, I think if it's a player that's on the younger side and they've got some years, I think that's a trade that should be pursued. But you know, what are you giving up to make it happen? I mean, everybody throws around the first round picks, like, yeah, okay, just give up one of those. Well, you know, the organizationally, I mean, there's more depth than there has been in years. Let's be honest about that.
Thank you, Tim Murray.
But how? Mm-hmm. Right. But, you know, even going back to Darcy, too. I mean, granted, that's like ancient history at this point. But I think if you look at what they've got in Rochester and what they've got, you know, developmentally across the globe now, I suppose that's the best way to put it. But what they've got elsewhere, there's not a lot of guys right now where you could call up a guy right now and put him into the lineup and say that the Sabres are definitively a better team because of it. I don't think that you can make that argument for the guy. I mean, you know, does that mean guys like C.J. Smith or Alex Nylander or Victor Olofsson are bad players right now? No, absolutely not. But if you're thinking that calling up one or two of those guys is going to be a cure-all for getting the offense going, I don't think so. I don't think that's the case. I think we'll see C.J. Smith back at some point. I've written about it already, but I think he's on that Connor Sherry sort of trend where, you know, he's got to show that he's consistent. He's got to show that he's consistent enough in the AHL where you can put him in the NHL and he's going to do that regularly, and that's good. Get him up here, get him to stay here. But I think that's the whole point of what they've been doing developmentally, is that they, you know, when they get these guys and they call them up, they want them to stay here. They don't want them to bounce back and forth constantly between here and Rochester. But to fix things, to get an NHL established player in there that can contribute and can help and get things done, that's the real test for Jason Botterill. But like, what's it gonna take to get one of those guys out of there? I think, you know, a lot of people seem to hint that it's a buyer's market, but you know, at what price? You know, and Botterill right now doesn't seem to be the type that's gonna give up a ton to get a guy where if it's a rental player, like, absolutely not. But if you're gonna chase a guy like Twitter seems to love Charlie Coyle in Minnesota as a guy to chase, that's something where, you know, maybe you kick it around and wonder how it can happen. But I don't know. It's something where you're looking for that Jeff Skinner for Cliff Poo in a pick deal every time. And I don't know that I think people are going to be, the thing is you pull a heist like that once and every GM is going to be on their guard against you, hoping to not get swindled again. It seems to always work for Doug Wilson in San Jose, because he always seems to get the good end of those deals. But you know, if you're a young and up and comer, GMs are going to side eye you pretty hard and say, "Listen, you're not going to fool me like you fooled that guy. You got to give me everything I want." Deals don't happen that way.
Yeah, and that's especially since you brought up the fact about what they didn't have to give up so much for Jeff Skinner, and that is always going to be interesting there. And I hope GMs aren't as protective if the Sabres are in the market here, but of course, who knows what happens there.
There's a quote that I heard on another hockey podcast I was listening to this, I think it was last week. GMs don't throw each other life vests. They throw anvils at each other.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I think that's a Elliot Friedman staple.
I think so, yeah. I think that's what it was. I think it was his 31 Thoughts podcast.
Yeah, I think I've heard and read that from Elliot quite a bit. And it's the truth. It's the absolute truth that if a team sees that you're in need, you know, like with Edmonton, I think Edmonton's taken on enough anvils over the years where, you know, we've seen how the ship has sunk there. But I mean, if you're showing an obvious weakness, you know, teams are going to say, hey, buddy, we can help you out. Why don't you take this awful contract for this player that could be really good for you and, you know, you'd be doing us a huge favor. What do you think? And that's how you end up spiraling out of control.
Yeah, and again, it's one of those things where we really have to, and it's something where fans have to be guarded on this. I mean, I'm not expecting anything here on the trade market. I think that they're going to hang on to all those picks. I think they want to be able to use all those picks. And it's just something that if they just don't happen to make the playoffs this year, they're not going to make the playoffs this year, and it's going to be rough. It would be a huge disappointment to waste that 10-game win streak and everything of the sort there. But it all comes down to, I mean, Jeff Skinner wasn't the only acquisition there. I mean, Connor Sherry is a guy who has really been hot and cold throughout the season.
Connor Sherry was actually like a favorite trade for the Sabres because they gave up a conditional fourth round pick to get a top nine player, and then they take on a contract of Matt Hunwick. So it was another one of those trades where Botcher was doing Jim Rutherford in Pittsburgh, you know, former team, a favor.
Yeah, but I think the cost in that, I mean, just as far as a contract goes, I mean, that was a salary dump for Pittsburgh.
Well, yeah.
And, you know, that's why that cost ends up being a bit lower, because Pittsburgh had to get down. They, you know, they've got high contract guys there, then that makes managing their cap a little bit harder. But, you know, but that's a case where their development of players has been so good. And that's, you know, that's in part due to Bottrell for getting guys in Scranton to help out that you can get these guys built up and get them to a point where, you know, they're $2-4 million a year players. But when it's time to cut them loose, you can replace them from within. I think that's the part with the Sabres where I think down the road, That's where they want to be as far as roster flexibility goes. Because, you know, when you look at, you know, what happens after this year and after next year with money getting free, you know, you're going to have guys that you have to tie money into, obviously. You know, Dahlin's going to get his big contract. You know, Reinhart's probably going to get a really good contract.
Middlestat's
probably going to be on that sort of Reinhart path as far as, you know, how his stuff gets handled. But you know, down the road, you're looking at paying those guys a lot of money, and if you can replace guys in the bottom six or, you know, that third pair on defense with guys that you've cultivated from within and that are very cost effective, that's the part of winning the game that matters, and that's where they want to get to eventually, and you know they'll get there, but it's going to require patience, you know. Jason Bottrell said fixing the AHL was going to be easy, and it was. You know, he got the Emirates back to the playoffs last year, but as far as getting that to be at a point where, you know, the fixes can come from within, and guys can improve when they get to the NHL and become regular NHL players, that takes a little bit of time. And you know, we've seen how they've found ways to clear guys out that, you know, were originally part of the plan, but eventually wound up not being part of the plan anymore because they weren't his guys and they were not going to be NHL players, at least not in Buffalo anyhow.
They also got to re-sign Linus Ullmark this year and Jake McCabe. Those are two other guys. And I think McCabe's going to get a little bit of a payday. Ullmark, I could see him getting, you know, around four, less than four, considering that what Koskinen got in Edmonton.
Well, I judging anything based off of what Edmonton does is probably not a great way to.
Well, my point is, I think you can guarantee he's going to get less.
Yeah, people, unless you've got a guy like Carey Price or Jonathan Quick, you're probably not paying monster money out to a goaltender. Granted, you could argue that both of those guys probably got contracts that their teams immediately regret, but that's the kind of thing where if you develop a guy who can carry you that way, geez, that's a pretty good deal in itself. I mean, if you can have a guy that can dominate and win games and become, you know, award candidates every year and win you a Stanley Cup or two, then that's an acceptable loss when it comes to salary.
Joe, you're in The Athletic, joining us here for a couple more minutes. Joe, it just with this team and everything of the sort here, people are still looking to the AHL. They're looking toward Olofsson and CJ Smith, as we had talked about earlier, and Alex Nylander and Brendan Gulley as well. I mean, you've been up and down the road a couple of times. How have some of those players looked down there in the farm?
Well, I look at them like I think the biggest issue is the consistency part, which, I mean, that's going to happen in the AHL. You know, we've seen, you know, Victor Olsson had that huge start, and everybody said, oh, my God, he's only going to be in Rochester for a month before he comes to Buffalo full time. Well, you know, things cooled off, and, you know, he scored a few goals here recently, but and people are, you know, they see his shot, and they're just like, my God, how is this guy not in the NHL? Well, I mean, this is not a knock against Victor, because he can't help how things set up for him, but he's been so wide open on these goals where he's just got all this room to shoot, and that room isn't available to you in the NHL. And I think that's been the big test for Victor from the get-go, is that he's got that great shot, but how can he get it off effectively at 5-on-5, and can he do it against NHL-level defenders? And, you know, that if he was lighting up the AHL, you know, for like 25 goals already, I mean, he probably would have been in Buffalo by now. But with if the consistency keeps coming, then that's a huge thing, and then that will get him to the NHL. And the same applies for guys like Nylander and for Gulley and for Will Borgen. I think Will Borgen's on a slower train to the NHL, but I think guys like that, you just want that consistent play. You want to see that the chances and the effort and all that stuff happening every game. You don't want to see a guy go from, you know, generating, you know, 8-9 chances in a game to being invisible the next two. Like, that's the kind of thing that won't get you to the NHL, and that's something they're working on with all of these guys. I think that's, you know, that's something that certainly with Nylander they've worked on, and, you know, I think for guys like Olofsson, where it's their first year in this, you know, playing in North America, it's a little bit of a different feel because they're kind of learning on the fly. But I mean, these guys do look good. I mean, they've produced, they've played well. You know, they're getting some unbelievable performances from guys like Zach Redmond, where, you know, he's not an option. Like that, everybody wants to see the Sabres bring him up, but he's not an option. But guys like that, it's great to see that, you know, they've got those steadying presences in Rochester to help out. But, you know, unless a guy's doing things the way Lawrence Pilot was doing them in Roch, they're not going to come up right away. But you know, in talking with Chris Taylor and Alex Nylander and some of the other guys there, they want to get it to a point where, you know, when these guys get called up, they stay. They don't want them bouncing. So if these guys play at a level where it's like, wow, geez, any day now they're going to get called up, and that's where they want. That's where they want all these guys to be at.
Joe, one last Sabres question before I ask you a silly one to end it. And if Frank has one, he can butt in as well. But Nathan Beaulieu, we mentioned everything with Lawrence Pilot. We mentioned everything there. I mean, Nathan Beaulieu, that request comes out that he wants more playing time. What do you see happening there at the end of the day with Nathan Beaulieu?
Well, I'm I sympathize for Nathan. I you know, totally get his situation. You know, he's, you know, it's a contract thing. You know, he's in the last year of a deal. He wants to show what he's worth, show what he can do. He wants to show it more. You know, I think he's been a better player. But, I mean, Lawrence Pilot's kind of taken that job away. That to me is the difference. And, you know, everybody wants to see, you know, one or two different guys sit in favor of Beaulieu, but that's not how it works. Unfortunately, I mean, well, more fortunately, I should say, but it's a tough situation because they've got like seven or eight guys, you know, they got seven guys right now. You can only play six of them. I mean, you can play 7D, but that doesn't do anybody any favors, but it's a tough situation. So I understand why he said, you know, listen, if I'm not going to play, just get me somewhere where I can play. And, you know, I don't know if he felt like he was going to be able to force a hand there into getting more playing time, because it's essentially a soft way of asking for a trade. And, I mean, teams need D help. And, you know, I think a lot of people, when they look at Nathan Beaulieu, they think of the guy they saw in Montreal or even his first, you know, last season here in Buffalo, where he's a bit of a renegade out on the ice, where he was kind of doing things how he wanted to do them. And he's not been that player this year. I think he's been very solid in his own end. He's a guy who sticks up for his teammates, and he's been pretty responsible with the puck. He's good possession numbers. He checks a lot more boxes now than he used to. And I think there's a market for a guy like that, but I don't know what that return would be. I think you're looking at mid round draft pick, and you know, maybe like a not as hot prospect, or somebody who's equal to the task at him at the NHL level. I'm stumbling over my words today, guys. I'm sorry, but
you've been out of it for a week. It's fine.
Yeah.
But I think trade wise, I mean, yeah, he's probably going to get traded, but what you get in return, I mean, it's not going to be dazzling. Maybe that's where another forward comes into play. Maybe somebody else to help in Rochester, or, you know, maybe somebody else to help in Rochester to get a guy from Roch up to Buffalo. They have options there. That's good. But mostly I feel for Nathan because he's played well this year, and it's just a tough situation. I mean, you look at the Sabres defense and you wonder, like, well, geez, how the heck can't this guy get in there? And it's like, well, you know, most of those positions are spoken for the most, you know, for better or for worse. But, you know, it's essentially like one or two spots on that blue line where he's got a chance. And, you know, it's I think it's basically down to one spot now, and Pilot's taken.
Man, what a time, though, for not having Peter Chiarelli around.
Well, yeah, I mean,
that would have been a great opportunity to take advantage of.
But, like, who do you think? Well, no, that door that opens way too wide. Like, who do you think he gets for Nathan Ball? I don't know. Probably anybody but McDavid at that point. But
yeah, that's
but, I mean,
true.
It's tough. That it gets a lot tougher to project out trades.
I'm starting to think when it comes to trading Nathan Beaulieu, it might come down to whenever Casey Nelson comes back. Because you still have Matt Hunwick up, who's pretty much just a practice player right now for the team, and he's always going to be a scratch every game unless they lose like two D men to injury, and then you see Hunwick going in the lineup. And I think until Casey Nelson comes back, I don't really see Beaulieu getting traded, because if the Sabres are going to go try and they're going to try to make the playoffs this year, why would you trade a depth defenseman?
Yeah, no, because once Nelson comes back, you're looking at having nine defensemen
exactly
on your NHL roster. And, I mean, at that point, do you have to? Like, you're kind of stuck, because no matter what, unless you send Pilot back, which I don't think they really want to do that right now.
Yeah, I doubt that, too.
But unless you're sending Pilot back, you're looking at putting somebody through waivers, mm-hmm. and putting them and maybe stashing them in Rochester and making their veteran issue a lot harder for Chris Taylor to deal with. I mean, you know they already had to move Taylor Fadoo now to Dallas to kind of lighten up the defensive logjam there, and you know that you know, if you're going to do it, if you're going to do it to him again by sending another veteran guy down, that's really hard, because then you got guys that are fighting to get in the lineup that you can't put in the lineup. I mean, I look at like a guy like Nathan Page down in Rochester, where, you know, I think he understood what the situation was, that he was essentially going to be, you know, the veteran guy that's got to sit out more often than not. But like, I don't think you want to make that. I don't think they want to make that a lot harder down in Roch for them. But yeah, I mean, that, you know, Nelson's return's probably going to kind of force something to happen there with Beaulieu or with somebody else somehow. I mean, you have to figure out a way to get a D out of there at that point. And, you know, and like I said, if they had any concerns about Pilot in the NHL, I think they would have sent him back already. So I think he's here to stay.
Yeah, there it is. All right, Joe. As we know, the Patriots are back in the Super Bowl. What a joyous world we live in.
And Frank, please contain your excitement.
And Frank and I, this is the exciting part. Frank and I, every segment, every podcast until the Super Bowl now, we're doing a bit of things we'd rather do than watch the Patriots win another Super Bowl. For example, like, I'd rather be forced to eat an entire veggie platter with no bacon hanging around at a Super Bowl party than watch the Patriots win again. So, off the top of your head, I want your idea for things you'd rather see than a Patriots Super Bowl win.
I'd rather give myself a pedicure with steel wool.
Ooh. Ow.
Then do that. I think that's my perspective is different, because I don't exactly hate the Patriots, because I'm not a Bills fan. So, and besides, my favorite team kicked the crap out of the Patriots this year. So, so that I can hang my hat on that. But yeah, no, a steel wool pedicure. Yeah, I think
that steel wool pedicure. All right, we're writing that one down, Joe.
Yeah, steel wool.
Steel wool pedicure. Right, yeah. Joe, you're one of the best. Thanks for taking the time, man.
Hey, you got it, guys. Thanks for having me.
And hey, Sabres, they get back to action after the All-Star break. And, we'll see what happens from here, right?
Yeah, it's going to be – I think that seven-game homestand at the beginning of February is going to be very telling, because there's a lot of games with teams that they've got to beat, and a lot of games against teams that they have to beat to get this thing going. So yeah, a little tough. They got to start off on the road, but you got to defend home ice. You got to take care of business.
All right, Joe. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks, guys.
That was Joe Yordan of The Athletic joining us here today on the Leftovers podcast, and he brought up a steel wool pedicure rather than seeing the Patriots.
That's a good
win.
One.
That's a painful one right there, bud.
It's good.
I don't. That one's that's an ouchie, bud.
Yeah. It's a big ouchie there, bud.
That's a big ouchie there, bud. All right, so, Frank, you had me intrigued about your little conspiracy theory thing.
Okay, so I tweeted out yesterday, and it turns out I was wrong about it.
Wah, wah.
Wah, wah.
That's my job, idiot.
Yeah, well, no, I'm wrong, too, most of the time. Don't worry. Because I tweeted out
that. Yeah, watch our pick'em record.
Yeah. I tweeted out, and then Brayton Wilson retweeted it and clarified it, but it turns out we were both wrong.
With the help of Cap Friendly and Paul Hamilton,
yes,
we got our answers.
Brayton and I originally thought that the Sabres couldn't trade the conditional first-round picks of San Jose and St. Louis because they're not officially Sabres property.
Which I would have believed that, but it also still seemed odd.
Yeah.
Like, instead of giving us the rights to that conditional pick, we could just give the rights to it to another team. It's like, when those conditions get met, they can go to that team. Like,
we didn't know that you could just trade the rights to a conditional pick to another team.
So that whole idea got blown up.
So now
that you found out that it's wrong,
not really, because
I still want to hear it.
The Erik Karlsson trade.
Okay.
San Jose gets Erik Karlsson. They trade. They trade multiple conditional picks, pretty much. And there's a lot of stupid conditions with it. One of them, however, was this doomsday scenario where San Jose misses the playoffs. If San Jose missed the playoffs, Ottawa gets their 2019 first.
And that punts it to the Sabres. But the thing is,
it doesn't punt it. That's the thing.
The Sabres get the 2020.
Yes. That would be so. But the Sabres had the 2019 first. It was theirs because San Jose re-signed Kane.
No, it was not.
Wasn't it?
Because San Jose still had to make the playoffs. That's why they were able to make that condition. If Kane re-signed,
which he did.
The other condition, which was pretty much a given, was that San Jose still had to make the playoffs.
I thought it was the year before when they traded for Kane. Last season.
No.
Or no. Last season, it was... No, because the only conditions of the trade were either Kane re-signs or San Jose makes the West Finals or the Cup Final.
Yeah, but that was the stipulation for the first year. If Kane re-signed, the only other condition that had to be met was that they still had to make the playoffs. That's why they were able to get away with it. That's why they were able to go ahead and swap it so that if San Jose didn't make the playoffs, Buffalo gets the 2020.
I have the trade. San Jose gets Evander Kane. Buffalo gets Daniel Regan. 2019 conditional first and 2019 conditional fourth. For the first, pick upgrades to a 2019 first if Sharks re-sign Kane. If Sharks don't make the playoffs in 2019, then Sharks have the option to retain 2019 first above Buffalo's 2020 first.
Yes, and that was the thing, was we all thought it was a given anyway. That's why.
Yeah.
Like, if they re-sign Kane, they're a playoff team. Oh, wow, they re-signed Kane. That is a first-round pick.
Sharks re-sign Kane, Buffalo receives a first-round pick.
Yes. So, yeah, okay. That's the thing. If they re-sign him, it was a guarantee they get a first-round pick. The year had to be dependent on if they made the playoffs, which we all assumed that they would, or if they did not, then it would be a 2020.
Yeah, that's right.
So that was it. Like, that's why everything makes sense to me with the Erik Karlsson trade.
It does make
sense. Because that condition was still open.
Yeah, it does make a little more sense, but I still wonder if Buffalo knows something about Karlsson, him going to San Jose.
I don't know.
I don't know as well. It's.
I don't think so.
I do find it odd, though, that
to be able to pull off one of the biggest trades of the summer.
I do find it
to
odd.
to have knowledge of that at the trade deadline. Like, you got to be buds with Doug Wilson in order to get that to happen.
I'm wondering, though, because it's odd that San Jose is going to trade for Erik Karlsson and not have an extension come with it.
Hey, man.
It's quite obvious that they're going for it this year.
Yeah. It just
by making that kind
I still
of
don't
move.
Think that they knew for sure that that was something that was going to happen. It just... The big thing was the Sabres were just really hoping that Evander Kane would resign there. That's it. That is it.
Yeah.
Now, you ready for my take?
What?
I don't care what the conditions are. I don't care if you could trade the picks. I don't care.
Yeah, because they're probably going to keep them anyway.
Not only that, I don't want to give them up.
I want
the Sabres to be able to draft and develop.
I think the biggest thing that I think fans are overlooking right now. They're all saying trade for this guy, trade for this guy, trade this guy, whatever. The trade scenarios that people are coming up with, like when we were talking with Joe, people love the idea of Charlie Coyle.
Yes.
Braden Schenn's another guy. Sean Couturier was one that was floated out. I brought up
at
too.
At least those last two names, those are teams that are probably out of playoff contention.
Here's the thing.
The Wild are in the third spot in the Central.
But this is the thing. This is the thing that makes none of that matters. Here's the thing that makes it not matter. These kind of trades that we're talking about happen in the summer.
Yes.
They don't happen at the deadline.
Yes,
that
is true.
The closest that could happen at the deadline, honestly, is Braden Schenn, because he's got one more year left after this year. That's the closest. Charlie Coyle, who's got a good contract for multiple years, Sean Couturier, same thing. Anybody else you could throw out there that has a contract beyond next year?
Yeah, those are not in-season
moves. Yeah, those are off-season moves.
That is true.
Ryan O'Reilly is the example that I'll put.
Yep. Yeah, because he had plenty of term on his deal. It was just signed.
He still has like 4 years left, I think.
Yep.
A
lot of term on the deal, that's something that's an off-season deal.
And the other thing, too, is the team has to want to trade him. The team has to want what you're offering.
Exactly.
You're offering a first-round pick. Maybe the team doesn't want just a first-round pick. Maybe they want a lot for this guy.
Maybe they want a tangible prospect instead of a pick.
Yeah, maybe they want a really good player along with the first-round pick. And I know
Andre Burakovsky just came up on the market, and it's strange what the Caps are looking for, wasn't it? Didn't they say something about like a top six forward or a top nine forward?
Yeah, something like that.
Isn't Burakovsky that?
Yeah.
So why are they trading him?
I don't know.
Probably contract related.
Maybe
they know. Maybe they know something about the team.
They probably
not being able to re-sign him.
Yeah. So they probably want to get a guy who has some term that's like Burakovsky.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's kind of similar to what the Blackhawks did. Like, they traded Hjalmarsson to Arizona and got Connor Murphy, who is kind of similar to Hjalmarsson, but has term on his contract. And then, obviously, training Panarin for Saad. And
yep. That backfired.
Saad has term, Panarin doesn't.
It still backfired on them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but that would be why you'd make that kind of move. But, yeah, it's all of these scenarios that people are coming up with realistically tend to happen in the summer.
Yes, I agree with that. That makes a lot more sense.
So when off-season comes around, anything can really happen.
Anything always does happen.
Yeah, and you know, even for teams that made the playoffs, names can come up in the trading market. And then, sure, yeah, we could come up with some interesting scenarios or interesting ideas. I think right now, though, anything that's being made in that caliber, likely, I think it's slim to none that it would actually happen, even less than that. And I'm still on the boat where I don't think the Sabres are going to make any big moves to the roster. I think if they make a move, it's going to be small. I would even suspect the only moves they're going to make are AHL moves.
Yeah.
If they just traded Justin Bailey for Taylor Lear. They're two similar, they're the same players, pretty much. That's about it for the AHL. And at best, they're fourth liners in the NHL.
Yep.
That's it. That's really the most I can see them doing.
I agree with that. All right, Frank. We're just about done here.
Okay.
Two things. Yep. One, we'll probably get a Senior Bowl recap on Monday.
Cool.
I'll try to reach out and get someone there. And then two, it's time for everybody's favorite segment.
What would you rather do than see the Patriots win another Super Bowl?
What we got?
All right, let's go. Here
Joe
we go.
Yurdens.
We got Joe Yurdens with steel wool pedicure. Ow. Like, someone with dry hands, that hurts even more for me to think about.
Yeah.
So that's a double ouchie there, bud.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I've got a couple ideas.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, here we go. I'm going to start off with, I would rather have 8 months of winter than see the Patriots win another Super Bowl.
Ooh. Okay. Going off the winter thing, I would rather drive 100 miles an hour down a busy street with all the snow on the ground and not be able to stop.
So you're just literally saying you'd rather die.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's dark.
Wow.
That's dark. All right. I've got an absolutely ridiculous one. I'm looking at your friggin' Pokemon shirt right now.
Like the Pokemon shirt.
So I'm going to go that theme here.
Okay.
I would rather have to be forced to take Bulbasaur every time I play Pokemon.
Ooh. For people who don't know, Derek's Pokemon of choice between Bulbasaur, Charmander, Squirtle is Squirtle.
That nobody takes the grass Pokemon.
Nobody does.
Nobody does it. Nobody does it.
You know what's sad about my Pokemon shirt? Bulbasaur's not on here.
Yeah, see? Even the shirt doesn't want Bulbasaur on there. They'd rather stick a Meowth on there for no reason. All right.
Stupid.
I'm wearing a Star Wars shirt. I've got one here. I would rather watch the prequels exclusively as my Star Wars movies forever and ever than see the Patriots win a Super Bowl.
Wow.
That's strong, right?
Yeah.
I would willfully make episode 2 my favorite Star Wars movie if it meant the Patriots never win another Super Bowl with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Hands down.
Hands down.
Hands down.
Hands down.
I forgot to post the question up on Twitter, so we don't have any responses for it this time.
We'll do it later.
But what we will do is we will do that for you guys again.
Yeah.
So that you can do that. And you can reach us with your ideas that can be equally as stupid and inane or as dark as what Frank went with. Or as what painful as Joe Yurden went with.
I mean, the other one I came up with was painful, too, on the last podcast. Take Erasmus with Stallion and Slapshot.
I came up with worse.
Yeah.
Having a punching bag for an MMA fighter.
a
personal punching bag.
You mean being a punching bag?
No, I mean, like, the personal punching bag.
Oh, okay. I mean, you could be a punching bag for an MMA fighter.
That's not good either. That's probably internal bleeding, as a matter of fact. That's just bad. And external bleeding,
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Internal, external, you know, that's how fights probably work. All right.
I would willfully get into a fight with a 25-year-old Rob Wright.
I'd rather get into a fight with current-day Rob Wright. That still wouldn't work for me.
I know, but I wanted to go in your in his
it still
prime.
It still wouldn't go
I wanted
go
to
well.
Go in his prime, Rob Ray, because he was, you know.
Rob back. Probably still has the jam. I'm not messing with
him
now.
Oh, I'm talking about the force of the punch. I'm talking about the speed.
No, I know. I'm just saying, though. Like, he probably has the speed still. Who knows? Like, maybe
probably.
It's just, like, muscle memory.
It could be.
I ain't finding out.
Yeah, I don't. Well, would you rather find out than see the Patriots win a Super Bowl?
Yes.
Okay, here you go.
I gotta call him a grocery stick when I get back up in the booth. When I get back to the press box, I just gotta call him a grocery stick, see what happens. That was an interesting day on Chopin Bulldog when they were going over some hockey lingo.
Mm-hmm.
And
Chope tweeted about it and, with the one T.
Yeah, and then the grocery stick, that was the best one. And for those that don't know, that means the player that separates the forward and the D-man because he doesn't play. And he's staying on the bench, kind of like how a grocery stick separates, like, the celery and the... Yeah, there you go. You like that, huh?
Oh, that's fantastic.
So there you go. If you're a hockey player, you got a new chirp right there. Call someone a grocery stick.
Yeah, grocery stick.
I mean, I am. I know. It's okay. Takes one to know one.
I mean, I can't be. I'm a goalie.
No, I know. I'm saying, like, I know, though, so yeah. I can call people that.
Yeah. There's plenty of grocery sticks on our ice hockey team.
San Martel. So.
Side was one of them.
Oh, come on, man. All right. So.
We have fun on the Leftovers podcast.
Yes. I mean, if you're not having fun, why are you doing it?
Yeah.
And I hope you've had fun listening. We'll try to talk some Senior Bowl for Monday, get a recap on the week that was there, try to get some perspective on how UB products, Tyree Jackson and Anthony Johnson did, what top prospects are probably going to be in the Bills' gleaming eye, and we'll try to do an over-under on how many Senior Bowl prospects get drafted by the Bills this year. They have 10 over the last two seasons on the current roster.
They have 10 draft picks this year.
And also, they've drafted 9 players with picks that were Senior Bowl players. They cut one, but 2 players on the Bills' current roster are undrafted that were Senior Bowl alums from the past 2 seasons. Connor McDermott and Levi Wallace.
Ah.
Yeah.
Nice.
There you go.
So you're talking just in the last 2 years?
Yes.
Okay.
Since McDermott and Bean have been
McDermott,
here.
And since McDermott took over, because Bean wasn't here in 2017.
Yes, but McDermott still had a heavy Senior Bowl class as well.
Yeah.
So, Zay Jones, Deion Dawkins amongst them.
We can talk more about this on Saturday, too.
That's right. We do a Saturday show, 9 to 10 a.m. as we get started before Inside High School Sports and then Sports Talk Saturday on WGR. Thanks for listening, Derek Kramer.
Frank R. Curry.
This has been the Leftovers Podcast here on WGR550.com. We'll check you guys next time.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.